好，我们接下来把时间交给李长老啊，他要跟我们分享以色列主带来的时钟这件信息。
Now that's Elder David Lee to share today's message, Israel God's time clock for Christ's return.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
早安，弟兄姐妹。
Today's message is a continuation of my sermon last time, which is 7 weeks ago on Mother's Day.
今天的信息呢是我接着我在七周，也就是母亲节那一天给大家分享的那个讯息的事迹。
If you have forgotten what I preach, the message title was The Second Coming of Christ.
如果大家忘了我当时的这个讯息的话，我可以再提醒大家，那就是基督的第二次降临。
And we talk about the signs of the end time and Christ's return from Matthew 24.
我们当时谈论了基督再次降临时候的那个末世时代的许多的征兆。
We categorize the signs into four groups. Signs in the world, signs in the church, signs in Israel, and signs in the sky.
我们当时把那些征兆分成了四个不同的等级。第一个是在世界上能够看到的征兆，第二个是在教会里显出的征兆，第三个是在以色列显现的征兆，最后是在天象上面看得到的征兆。
I cover the signs in the church during the end time.
我当时谈到了在教会里面可以见得到的那些征兆。
And also end time signs in the world.
我也提到了在这个世界上我们看得到的那一些末世的征兆。
Mainly disasters caused by nature and disasters of man.
主要这些征兆是由这个在大自然中显现的这些灾难或者是人为所造成的灾难。
Well, today I'm going to concentrate on the third.A category of signs in Israel, and that is very, very important.
那么今天我要把焦点放在第三个征兆，就是发生在以色列的征兆，这是非常非常重要的一部分。
But before I do that, I want to remind everyone. Last time I pointed out some of the end time signs in the world is.Social unrest and lawlessness or wickedness.
那么我在进入主题之前要再回顾，带大家回顾一下上次我提到的这个在世界上的征兆，人为的末世征兆里很重要的一个部分，就是社会上的骚乱，还有脱序无没有法律的状态。
Well, how true that was.
这是多么真实的一个预兆。
As I pointed out last time, we saw all these kinds of lawlessness in our society today. We see mass shooting in the public, in public concerts, in schools, in churches, and synagogues.
上次我在这个分享讯息的时候跟大家提到，我们社会上所看得到的这些大规模的这个枪杀事件发生在教会里，在这个犹太人的会堂，甚至在学校里。
Even in the peaceful city of Hong Kong, which I grew up, they have violence last year, very severe.
那么即便是在我生长的香港，去年呢也出现了非常严重的暴乱事件。
One year ago,these protesters broke into the Legislative Council building and the meeting room, vandalized it.
那么一年之前呢，那么抗议者进入了立法院，然后破坏了立法院的当时的会议厅。
Yeah, this was an open challenge to the law.
那么这是对法律的一个公开的挑战。
Now, this lawlessness has spread to the United States and major cities throughout the world.
那么现在这样子的 混乱呢，已经蔓延到了美国，还有全世界很多不同的城市。
We all saw it in the past month, large protests in major cities in the United States.
我们在上个月看到了，在很多美国的大城市里都发生了示威抗议活动。
Looting in major cities.
在当时很多主要的城市里都发生了抢劫的状况。
Burning of buildings and nations flag.
放火了，烧了很多的大楼跟商店。
And in Seattle, actually, the protesters or the mobsters, took over a police, department and, kicked out the police and occupied a territory which they declared to be an autonomous zone.
那么在西雅图呢，甚至示威的这个暴徒冲进了一个这个警察局，接管了警察局，把警察赶出去，说这是一个他们的自治区。
Even the statues of our honorable founding fathers have been vandalized, burned, beheaded, and toppled.
那甚至是美国这些创建建国的这一些建国者，他们的雕像被破坏，或者是被烧毁，或者是被砍头，或者是被推倒。
You all saw this in TV and the news, I guess.
大家都可以在那个电视新闻上看到。
Now, there was a survey taken by Lightway Research earlier this year and asked 1,000 evangelical pastors, do they see signs of end time in current events?
那么在今年初的时候，有一个针对1000名的这个基督教的牧师所做的一份调查里面，来问他们说有没有看见到末世的征兆已经显现。
A bit more than half agree.
那么当中有超过半数的这个牧师，福音派的牧师说同意他们已经看到了末世的征兆。
Among the signs that they saw as end time signs are rise of false prophets and teachers.
其中呢，这些征兆第一个列在里面呢，就是说看见了假先知跟假教师的兴起。
The love of believers growing cold.
另外就是说信徒们的爱心冷淡了。
Traditional morals becoming less accepted.
传统的道德观念呢，大家越来越少人能够接受。
Wars and national conflicts.
看到更多的战争跟国家之间的冲突。
Earthquakes and other natural disasters.
然后看见了像地震和其他更多的天灾。
And the number of people abandoning their Christian faith.
那么有更多的人看见了很多基督徒，更多基督徒放弃自己的信仰。
Famines.
譬如说是这个饥荒。
Now notice that this survey was taken from January 24th to February 11th.
大家注意，这个是在今年初1月24到2月11号所做的调查。
That's before the pandemic hit this nation and before all the social unrest.
所以呢，甚至是在说这个美国受到疫情冲击，还有这个街头示威抗议发生之前所做的民调。
I'm pretty sure if the survey is taken today, the number will be quite a bit higher.
我相信呢，如果是在今天在做这份调查，这个比例可能还会更高。
So many people are starting to ask, is this the end of the world?
所以很多人开始在问说，这是不是末日要快来的征兆呢？
In Matthew 24, Jesus said, "These things do not be alarmed by these things. They will certainly happen, but the end is still to come. All these are the beginning of birth pains."
但是呢，耶稣在这个马太福音24章告诉我们说呢，这些事都是必须有的，只是末期还没有到。这些都是灾难的起头，是惨难。
And birth pain comes in cycles.
那么这个生产的痛楚呢，是一个像是一个周期。
Coming in more and more frequently.
它的频率度会越来越越快。
With increasing pain intensity.
那么这个痛楚的强度也会不断的增加。
And the duration of each bout of pain is longer and longer.
那么呢，这个惨痛呢，会越来每一次的惨痛会持续的时间越来越长。
And that's what we are experiencing today.
那就是我们今天正在经历的。
Jesus said, all these social unrest, natural disasters, and man-made disasters are just birth pain. It's not quite the definite sign of the end of the world and it's coming yet.
那么耶稣当时告诉我们说呢，这些人为的灾难其实只是惨痛，还不是主再来的征兆。
And he pointed out there are two specific signs for his return.And both signs will be coming out from Israel, which operates as God's alarm clock for the event.
耶稣告诉我们说，会有两个非常明显的征兆会在主再来之前显现。这两个征兆呢，都是从以色列而来的。那么它等于是上帝给我们的一个警钟。
Now, this clock actually signed an alarm 72 years ago, and gave us a gentle wake up call.
这个警钟其实在72年前就已经响起了，是给我们的一个起床号。
In Matthew 24:32-33, Jesus said, Now learn this lesson from the fig trees. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out,You know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know it is near, right at the door.
在马太福音24:32-33，耶稣说：“你们可以从无花果树学个比方，当树枝发嫩长叶的时候，你们就知道夏天近了。这样，你们看见这一切的事，也该知道人子近了，正在门口了。”
We all know that the fig tree refers to Israel.
我们都知道无花果树是以色列的一个比喻。
And as the fig tree grows leaves, it represents the rebirth of the nation of Israel.
你这个无花果树发嫩叶长叶的时候，代表的其实就是以色列的复国。
So Jesus said, when you see this, the Son of Man,Is at the door.
那耶稣说，当你们看见状况的时候，就晓得我已经在门口了。
There is another place in the Bible where Jesus says he's at the door.
那么在另外耶圣经里面还有另外一个地方，耶稣提到自己就在门外。
Revelation chapter 3, the Lord asked Apostle.Paul to look this to the church in Laodicea.
在启示录三章的时候呢，主要保罗写信给老底家教会。
He said, "Here I am. I'm standing at the door and knock."
他说，我就看了，我就站在门外叩门。
Now, Laodicea is the last church mentioned in.Revelation chapter 2 and 3.
那么老底嘉教会是在启示录第二跟第三章里面最后提到的那个教会。
It represents the end time church.
那代表的就是在末世时代的那个教会。
The church today certainly has a very lot of resemblance to the church in Laodicea.
那么今天的教会呢，跟在老底家的教会有很多的相似之处。
So Jesus is already outside at the door knocking.
所以呢，耶稣已经站在门外叩门了。
But we don't want to wake up. We want to answer the door and we snooze the alarm.
但是呢，我们不想醒来，我们也不想去应门，我们就把整个警示给关掉，到静音。
Going back to the rebirth of the nation of Israel, This miracle is bigger than most people realize.
以色列的复活呢，是一个大比大多数人所知道的还要更大的一个奇迹。
Think about it. Israel, the northern kingdom, was destroyed by Assyria in 723 BC, which is 2700 years ago.
大家可以想象一下，以色列，也就是当时的北国，是在西元前723年就被亚述所消灭了，那个几乎是2000多年以前。
And the southern kingdom of Judah was destroyed by Babylon in 606 BC.
那么，北方南方的犹大呢，当时是被巴比伦在公元前606年所消灭的。
Both have reigned for more than 2,500 years.
当时两个以色列的国家呢，都已经从这个地球上消失了将近2500年。
The Jews have lost their homeland and scattered throughout the world.And many, many millions of them were killed throughout history.
那么犹太人呢，失去了家园，分散在世界各地，成千上百万的人呢被杀。
The current global Jewish population is 14.7 million.
现在目前全球的犹太人的人口总数大约是1470万人。
Which is less than 16.6 million before World War II 80 years ago.
比二战之前的1660万人要少。
And this number is only two-thirds of the population of Beijing today.
那么这个人口总数呢，几乎是今天北京人口的三分之二而已。
Or approximately twice the population of the tiny city of Hong Kong.
那或者是呢，香港这个小城市的人口的两倍。
Nevertheless, the Jews have survived all this killing throughout history.
尽管如此呢，犹太人呢，在历史上历次的大屠杀都活了下来。
And the Jews have preserved their language.Their culture, their religious faith, and their strong desire to come back to build their nation after 2,500 years.
不管怎么说呢，犹太人呢，居然就保存了他们自己的语言、文化、宗教信仰，而且他们有强烈的欲望想要回到自己家园重新建国，而且这是在灭亡了2500年之后。
The ethnologists, which are scholars who study the culture of ethnic groups, consider this to be impossible.
那么世界上的民族学家都认为这几乎这是不可能的事情。
Just consider the Chinese immigrants in the United States.
你们可以想想看，说来到移民到美国的这个中国人、华人。
After two or three generations, they have assimilated into the American culture.
那么在两三代之后，通常他们就已经融入了美国的文化里。
And they have totally lost their Chinese heritage and culture.
几乎呢，两三代之后就失去了自己的中国的这个传统跟这个根。
So for the Jews to preserve the culture and religious faith.For more than 2,500 years, this is a miracle.
所以对犹太人来说，他们能够在2500年之间还能够维持自己的语言、文化和信仰，这真的是一个奇迹。
During the time of Babylonian captivity, Prophet Ezekiel was given a vision in which he saw a valley full of dry bones.
那么在巴比伦掳掠以色列人的时候呢，以西结这位先知当时他神给了他一个意象，看见了一个有许多枯干的骨头的一个山谷。
And the Lord said to Ezekiel, Son of man, can this bone live? These bones are the whole house of Israel. And the bone said, our bones are dry up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off.
主耶和华当时对他说：“人子啊，这些骸骨能复活吗？人子啊，这些骸骨就是以色列全家。他们说，我们的骨头枯干了，我们的指望失去了，我们灭绝尽尽。”
But the Lord said to this bone, "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life."
但是呢，主耶和华对这些骸骨如此说。我必使气息进入你们里面，你们就要活了。
And certainly he did.
那么也确实是如此，主确实是这样做了。
So working through World War I, World War II, and the United Nations, God put his chosen people back to their homeland and reestablished the nation of Israel.
所以呢，透过了第一第世界大战、第二次世界大战，还有联合国的工作呢，神呢又再次把他的选民带回到他们自己的家乡，重新建立了以色列国。
This is indeed an impossible miracle.
这真的是一个不可能的奇迹。
Now, even the day that Israel come back as a nation, May 14, 1948, the day itself is a miracle.
即便是以色列是在1948年5月14号复国这一天，本身就是一个奇迹。
It was the steadiest prophesied in the Old Testament.
因为在旧约里面有非常精准的预言。
Without going into too much detail, God told Ezekiel, the Jews will suffer 430 years for their sins.
因为当时呢，神告诉以西结说，犹太人因为悖逆要受苦430年，要受这样子的审判。
So they were taken captive to Babylon for 70 years and returned to their homeland 536 BC.
所以犹太人当时被掳到巴比伦，在那里待了70年，在公元前536年回到自己的家乡。
So,When you subtract out the 70 years of captivity from 430, they are left with 360 year, more years to bear.
所以如果我们当时把这个430年的审判加上他们扣掉他们在巴比伦待的70年，那么还有360年。
But after they came back from Babylon, they continued to sin against God, and according to Leviticus 26,They would suffer 7 times for the remaining years.
但是呢，这些犹太人在归回之后，继续的犯罪得罪耶和华。那么根据利未记26:18-28，他们要为此受7倍的这个处，在这个审判的期间要再受7倍的处罚。
So 7 times 360 equals 2,520 years.
所以360年乘上7次就是2520年。
Now this year is Jewish biblical year, which has only 360 days in a year.
这个年数是根据以色列人他们的自己使用的圣经年历算出来的，他们是一年只有360天。
So to convert to a solar year, you multiply2,520 by 360 days, and you come up with 907,200 days, which is close to 1,000,000 days.
那么，所以我们如果换算成我们使用的阳历呢，会得到的这个答案就是907,200天。
Then you divide by365.25 days in a solar year, and you get 2,483.78 solar years.
如果我们把907,200日以这个我们所使用的阳历，也就是一年有365天来除的话，最后会得到的是2483年。这个是阳历来计算的年。
You round it up to 2,484 years, And if you subtract this many years from 536 BC, what year do you come up with?
如果用以2484年减掉了536年，你们会得到什么样的数字呢？
The year is 1948.
我们得出来的就是1948年。
And that's the year Israel came back to life.
那就是以色列复国的那一年。
Some people say it is actually accurate to the month.
有些人说甚至连复国的那个月份都可以算得出来。
Another miracle of Israel's rebirth is their land.
另外一个以色列复国的奇迹显现在他们的土地上。
God promised the descendants of Abraham their land will be one that flows with milk and honey.
神当时向亚伯拉罕应许说他们的土地是流奶与蜜的土地。
But after Jesus was crucified, it turned barren and desolate for 2,000 years.
但是在主耶稣被钉十字架之后，这块土地呢，有将近2000年都是在荒废的状态。
This is a picture of the land in Israel, 1911.
这张照片是1911年以色列当时的景况。
But look at the land today. It's the same piece of land.Just from a different angle, it has now been healed and turned back into beautiful, productive land.
大家来看看第二张照片，是同样一块土地，只是从不同的角度拍下来的。但是同一块土地今天已经得到了医治，变成一个非常美丽而且生产力很高的土地。
This is a miracle indeed.
这真的也是一个奇迹。
Now, the second specific sign.Of Christ's return is given in Matthew 24:15.
那么耶稣会再来的第二个明显的征兆是在马太福音24:15.
And Jesus said, "When this happened in Israel, it sends a loud siren to everyone to flee."
那么耶稣说了，这个事情如果发生在以色列的时候呢？那就是一个大家都该开始逃亡的大大的警示。
Yeah, this is what Matthew 24 says. So when you see standing in a holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through prophet Daniel, and let the reader understand, then flee.
他说你们看见先知但以理所说的那行毁坏可憎的站在圣地，读这经的人需要议会，那时在犹太的应当逃到山上。
For then there will be great tribulation, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again.
因为呢，必有大灾难，从世界的起头直到如今，没有这样的灾难，后来也没有。
Now pay attention to this word.
那么所以大家要注意这些话语了。
Let the reader understand.
要让读着经的人需要自己去意会。
Spoken of through the prophet Daniel.
他是透过但以理这位先知说出来的。
Abomination that causes desolation.
那行毁坏可憎的。
And the holy place.
然后第四个重要要注意的字是圣地。
This is the only place that the Bible tells the reader to pay attention and understand it.
这个是圣经里唯一一个提醒说读的人必须要意会而且要注意的地方。
Now there are a couple other places, but they are all talking about the same thing.
那么事实上在圣经里呢，好几处的经节都提到这个，但是谈的是同一件事情。
Okay.So what is Daniel's prophecy about?
那么到底但以理说了什么样的预言呢？
It's called the 70-week prophecy.
这是讲到了说70个7的预言。
And it says, God has decreed or prescribed major future events for Israel in the 490-year following 445 BC.
也就是说当时神呢已经了 预令了在未来的490年当中会发生的主要的事件，也就是这些事件都会在公元前445年开始出现。
Now that was the year that the Persian king gave his order to rebuild Jerusalem.
那么那一年呢波斯王呢给了他的谕令开始重建耶路撒冷。
In other words, God has set a timed clock for things to happen in Israel.
也就是说在但以理书第九章里神为未来会在以色列发生的事情呢设下了一个闹钟。
Now, the week here is not 7 days as we understand it. A week in Hebrew refers to 7 years.
那么在这里所谓的一周是指的是七年。
So 70 weeks is 70 times 7 or 490 years.
所以这里指的70周呢就是70乘7是490年。
And again, this is a Jewish year andas compared to 365.25 days in the solar year.
不过再一次这边指的是犹太人的年历，他们一年只有360天，跟我们所用的阳历一年365天不一样。
Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks say that this 490 years will be divided into three periods.
那么但以理在就他的那个预言里面提到了这个70周也就是490年会分成三个不同的阶段。
7 weeks or 49 years.
其中七周也就是49年。
For the first period, and then 62 weeks or 434 years for the second period.
那么第二个阶段是62周就是434年。
And one week left or 7 years at the end.
最后一个阶段只有一周是七年。
Now the first 7 weeks of 49 years is the time it took to rebuild Jerusalem.
那么在这里的第一个七周就是49年是耶路撒冷的重建从公元前445年开始。
Now, notice, the whole prophecy is only 4 verses in the book of Daniel.
大家要注意说但以里面整个的预言呢只有四节。
Verse 24, in chapter 9 is kind of like an introduction.
那么但以理书的第九章24节开始好像只是一个简介。
Verse 25 covered the first 7 weeks.
那么24节呢先讲到了其中的前面的七周。
Okay, and then the second period will be a long and eventful time of 439 years.
那么第二个阶段是漫长的434年，但是这个阶段相对来讲是非常比较平静，没有什么大事的。
But at the end of the 62 weeks, there will be three major breathtaking events.
但是当62周结束之后的那一周，也就是七年之内，会有三件大事发生。
And it is all mentioned in one verse, verse 20.
所有的这些事情都在第九章第26节当中。
Okay, the three major events is first, the anointed one of Israel, or the promised Messiah, supposedly Jesus, was sold up and entered the holy city.
第一件事情就是受膏者，以色列的受膏者，也就是弥赛亚，耶稣呢，他会在圣城出现。
This happened exactly on the day spoken of when Jesus rode a donkey in the Jerusalem in 32 AD.
这件事情呢就在公元后32年耶稣骑着驴子来到耶路撒冷当天发生。
But no one recognized him as the anointed one.
但是当时没有人认得出来耶稣就是那位受膏者，就是那个大家所神所应许的弥赛亚。
The second major event is the anointed one will be cut off.
好，第二个主要会
crucified。
这个第二个主要会发生的大事，就是这位受膏者呢会被切断，因为耶稣后来被钉十字架。
Right. It happened 4 days after Jesus entered Jerusalem.
就在耶稣进入圣城第四天就发生了。
And then the third major event is a ruler will come and destroy Jerusalem and the temple.
第三件大事是说有一位统治者会来，而且会摧毁耶路撒冷跟圣殿。
War and desolation will persist on Israel's land until the end.
那么在以色列呢，一直到终结之前呢，这个地方会不断的受到战争跟这个荒凉的损害。
And this happened in 70 AD when Roman general Titus came and completely destroyed Jerusalem.The temple and killed 1,000,000 Jews.
这件事情在公元70年的时候就发生了。当罗马的大将军 Titus 进来的时候，他完全的毁掉了耶路撒冷圣城，还杀了100,000的犹太人。
The Jewish people have since lost their homeland and were scattered throughout the world.
自此之后呢，犹太人呢就失去了自己的家园，然后分散在世界各地。
So these are the three major events that.Took place right at the end of the second period or 62 weeks.
那么这些就是在第二阶段结束之后发生在一周之内，也就是七年之内发生的三件大事。
Now, then, this is a schematic illustration of the 69 weeks, the first and second period.
那么这个是一个图示把我刚刚跟大家讲的三个阶段显示出来给大家看。
Yeah. Rebuilding of Jerusalem, Jesus, the anointed one, entering the holy city.
那么前69个期呢，就是有重建耶路撒冷，受膏者进入耶路撒冷，然后耶稣被剪除。
Jesus crucified and Jerusalem and the temple destroyed.
耶稣呢被钉十字架，然后耶路撒冷跟圣城被毁。
Okay, now we come to the final period, the seventh week or the last 7 years.
那么我们来到了最后一个阶段呢，也就是最后的七年。
And that's in Daniel 9, verse 27.
那么这个是在但以理书第九章二十七节提到的。
Yeah, in one short verse, it says that.This last 7 years will be divided into two halves.
在这个这一段经文里面提到，后面的最后的七年会被分成两部分。
Okay, for the first 3.5 years, a person, he, without a name, supposedly the Antichrist, will make a peace treaty with Israel.
那么在前面的三又二分之一年第一部分的时候，会有一个没有目前没有提到名字的人，也就是一个敌基督，他很可能会出现跟以色列签一个和平协议。
And for the second 3.5 years, if he, the Antichrist, will break his treaty and set up an abomination that causes desolation in the temple.Until he's destroyed at the end of his 7 years.
那么在第二段第二个部分的三又二分之一年里面，这一位敌基督他可能会毁掉他跟以色列所签的和平协定，并且会让那个可憎的在那里行毁坏，让这个圣殿被毁灭，一直到七年结束之后，这个敌基督被毁灭为止。
Yeah, and that's.The sentence we need to pay attention to because this is the part quoted in Matthew 24.
那么这一句话可证我们要特别注意一下，因为在马太福音24章里也出现同样的用语。
Okay, so you understand that?
所以大家现在明白了吗？这个可证而行毁坏的。
Okay, again, let me give you an illustrating version of what Prophet Daniel and other Old Testament prophets see.
那么我现在用这个图表来给大家显示一下，这个包括但以理在内的旧约的先知们，他们当时看到的是什么样的意象呢？
They have a limited vision of what lies ahead.
他们对未来呢也只有非常有限的这个视野。
They saw the Messiah coming in and then killed.
他们见到了弥赛亚来临，而且还被杀。
But they also saw the Messiah coming in as a victorious savior.
但他们也同时看到了弥赛亚第二次胜利的降临。
As a king and judge. As a king and a judge.
他同时当时弥赛亚是以君王跟审判者的身份重新再来。
They see these two events as one event because they were looking very far away, just like they see these two mountain peaks.As one mountain peak.
因为他们是在预见未来很远的时间，就好像是站在下面看着两个大的山峰。
Okay, and they also see what lies ahead in the world, in man's kingdom.
那同时间呢，除了看见神，他们也看见了人的国度发生了什么事。
And God's kingdom in eternity.
然后最后还有神永恒的国度的存在。
But they don't see anything here in between in the valley.
但是他们看不到耶稣第一次再来跟第二次再来之间这个山谷的中间这一段发生了什么事。
So Daniel prophesied on this human kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, Greek, and Roman.
所以呢，但以理他预言了发生在人类人的国度里发生的这些事情，预言了巴比伦、马代、波斯、希腊跟罗马时代发生的事情。
And even see, the last 7 years and Antichrist.
他们但以理甚至可以见到了最后7年敌基督出现的状况。
But in between, they don't see anything. The old heaven prophets.
但是在旧约里面的先知呢，看不到耶稣第一次来临跟第二次来临之间发生了什么事。
This is called in the epistle of Paul, a hidden mystery.
那么呢，这个是一个大家称作为是这个隐藏的神秘的阶段的历史。
And that is the church age.
这一段阶段呢，就是教会时期。
Okay, alright, so the next thing we want to look at is Matthew 24 say, when you see abomination that caused desolation in the holy place.
那么马太福音第24章15节说了，你们看
second alarm.
这个就是第二次的警示。是你们看见先知但以理所说的那行毁坏可憎的站在圣地。
Abomination means a disgusting wicked sin worthy of death.
那么这里面提到了毁那行毁坏可憎的这个字，其实是一个非常可恶，是一个甚至可以因此致死的一个严重的罪行。
Often associated with idolatry.
通常是与拜偶像连结在一起。
And as with many prophecies in the Bible, Daniel's prophecy has a dual or near and far term fulfillment.
那么就像圣经里面很多的这个先知里所预言的，但以理在这里的预言呢，也有这种双重远近期的应验。
In the near term, there was a fulfillment in 175 to 165 BC.
在近期的时候，一个应验的例子呢，就发生在公元前175到165年间。
There was a Syrian king named Antiochus.
那当时有一个叙利亚的国王叫做安提亚古。
He ruled over the Jews.
他是犹太人的统治者。
He assumed the title Theos Epiphanes, which means God manifest, and set up in the temple an idol of shoes.
他当时
God he believed himself to be.
他当时呢称自己就是一个神然后呢还设立了一个崇拜宙斯的天神宙斯的一个庙神庙，因为他相信自己就是宙斯。
He defiled the temple by sacrificing a pig, the most unclean animal to the Jews, on the altar, and forced the priest to eat the meat.
那么他当时亵渎这个圣殿就是在那里献上被犹太人视为最不洁净的一头猪，然后还强迫当时的祭司来吃猪肉。
He even conducted immoral activity inside the temple.
他甚至在当时的神殿里面做了很多不道德的行为。
Antiochus is a type of Antichrist.
那么那个时候的安提亚古就是一个敌基督。
Notice the name Antiochus, Anti and Antichrist, so similar.
大家可以看到他的名字开头是 Anti, 其实就跟 Anti 是。
In the fourth term, Daniel saw what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tell us.
那么在长远来看呢，但以理的预言可以在帖撒罗尼迦书。
There will be a man of lawlessness who will be revealed. He will set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God.
那么帖撒罗尼迦后书里面讲到，那日子以前必有那大罪人显露出来，他是抵挡主，高抬自己，甚至坐在神的殿里，自称是神。
And this is what Matthew 24:15 talking about, an abomination in the holy place.
那么这也是在马太福音里面24章提到的，就是那位亵渎神发生在圣殿里面的事情。
Notice, what 2 Thessalonians tell about this person, a man of lawlessness.
注意一下帖撒罗尼迦后书用到的这个词，形容这个敌基督是什么呢？ Man of lawlessness 就是大罪人。
Is it any coincidence that we are seeing all this lawlessness in our society today?
这个无法无天的事情，这个人是不是跟我们今天见到很多所谓无法无天的世界这是很相符呢？
Well, this is the same illustration I showed you earlier, except I put in Antiochus just before the Roman Empire.
这个图跟我刚刚早先给大家看的图是一样的，只是我把安提亚古这个人放到了这个人的国度的这个阶段。
And I put in the Antichrist in the last 7 years.
那么我也把敌基督呢，这位敌基督放到了第二个阶段。
So where are we?
那么我们今天在哪个阶段呢？
I think we are here, very very close to the appearance of the Antichrist.
我相信我们是在第二个阶段，离敌基督出现非常接近的阶段。
Okay, so then.The next thing we want to talk about is the holy place.
另外接下来我要跟大家谈的是呢这个圣地。
Okay, due to the son of the time, the holy place refer to the temple where King Solomon built his temple.
当时圣经里面提到的圣地呢就是所罗门建殿的那个地方。
Now, for the Antichrist to stand in the holy place implies a third temple will be built in Israel.
那么为了要实现圣经中的预言，那个敌基督会站在圣地上，这也其实就告诉提示了我们说圣殿要第三次被建造起来。
Yeah. Without a third Israel temple, Daniel's prophecy and Matthew 24:15 cannot be fulfilled.
因为如果没有在以色列建造第三座圣殿呢，但以理的预言还有马太福音的预示都不可能应验。
But where is Solomon's temple site.
他把所罗门建圣殿的这个遗址是在哪里呢？
Jerusalem and the temple were so devastated in 70 AD, nobody knows exactly where it is.
那么因为当时耶路撒冷跟圣地被彻底的毁灭在公元的70年的时候，所以今天再也找不到了任何圣殿的征兆。
Many Jews believe the temple site is on a place called Temple Mount, now in Jerusalem.
那么很多的犹太人相信当时的圣殿是在今天的圣殿山。
Yeah, now this is the view of Temple Mount today.
这个是今天的圣殿山的一个景况。
And there are two Muslim mosques there.
那里呢有两座这个穆斯林的清真寺。
And if Israel think the temple has to be built here,It is impossible because if you demolish this Muslim mosque, there's going to be a third world war.
但是呢，如果以色列人要在这里建第三个圣殿，几乎是不可能的，因为要先拆毁掉两座这个清真寺哦。那么这就意味着即使要发生第三次的世界大战。
According to latest research based on biblical accounts, both.In the Old Testament and New Testament, it indicates Solomon's temple site is located south of the Temple Mount.
那么根据旧约的圣经里的旧约跟新约的这个研究呢，发现说所罗门当时建殿的地址可能是在今天圣殿山的南方。
There are a lot of proofs.For it, but I don't want to go into it. That time does not allow.
还有很多的细节，不过因为时间的关系，今天我就不多谈了。
Yeah, for example, the Bible mentioned in the temple area there is a spring called Gihon Spring.
那么譬如在圣经里面提到这里有一个活泉水。
And it is not in Temple Mount. It is outside to the south.
它不是在圣殿山上，而是在圣殿山之外。
And there were historians who witnessed that the temple and Jerusalem was totally destroyed, nothing left.
那么因为呢，圣殿整个都毁掉了，没有任何东西存留下来。
And Jesus said, "Not one stone shall be left upon another."
那么耶稣当时就已经说了，在圣殿上没有一块石头会留下来。
This is where people believe.
So the temple site is not in Temple Mount.
所以呢，圣殿的当时的建立的地址可能根本就不在圣殿山。
Yeah. Now, but.Nevertheless, the Jews have already made all kinds of preparation to build the first temple.
但是呢，犹太人今天已经为了重建第三座圣殿做好了准备。
They have the blueprint, they have the building material, all the sacred vessels made for the temple, the priestly garments.
那么他们呢已经把要建殿的材料，这个里面所有的圣洁的器皿，还有呢这个祭司所要穿的这个袍子，通通都已经准备好了。利未人。
And using DNA testing, they have identified more than 500 men to be descendants of Levi.
那么透过 DNA 的检验呢，他们找出来了有500位利未人的后裔。
And they have been trained to serve in the temple.
他们呢都已经受过训练，要在圣殿服事。
And this is the model of the temple they're going to build.
这个是今天要建的第三座圣殿的一个模型。
You're welcome.
Okay. And well, let's just see this short video here.
Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. What a glorious day. Remember this moment. This is history. by recognizing history, you have made history. In Jerusalem, Abram passed the greatest test of faith and the right to be the father of our nation. In Jerusalem, King David established our capital 3,000 years ago. In Jerusalem, King Solomon built our temple,
Okay, I'm not going to show you anything. Now, but even if they have the temple built, they need one other thing. They need a so-called red hive, which is a red cow, a baby red cow.
那么即使是圣殿都已经建成了，他们还需要另一样重要的东西，就是小红母牛。
Why is it needed? Because the ashes from the sacrifice of the hive is used to purify everything in the temple. The temple, all the vessels, and even the priests.
那么因为这是根据摩西的律法，要用这个小红母牛的献祭呢来洁净圣殿里面所有的一切，甚至包括是祭司。
Yeah, but the requirement for red hive is very strict. All the hair in the entire body from head to toe must be red. Not a single hair can be of other color, and it cannot have any blemish and must not have ever carry a yoke.
那么这个对小红母牛的要求非常严格，它所有的毛从头到脚都必须是红的，没有一根杂毛，然后呢它也不能够有任何的残缺，而且从来不能负轭。
For the past 3,000 years there has only been 9 hivers found and used.
那么在过去3000年里面呢，只找到了9头的小红母牛，然后用为献祭。
Moses used the first one.
那么摩西是使用了第一头的小红母牛献祭。
And less than 2 years ago, on August 28, 2018, there was a perfect red hive born in the land of Israel.
那么呢，就在2018年呢，有一头完美的小红母牛在以色列出生了。
So.We now have a red hive, and Israel can go ahead with the building of the first temple.
那么有了这个小红母牛呢，现在以色列呢就可以开始建造第三座圣殿。
If they can recognize and accept the original temple site to be outside of Temple Mount.
只要他们能够接受并且认出来说，这个当初建圣殿的地方就是在这个圣殿山的南面。
How fast can they build the temple?
那么他们可以用什么样的速度来建造这座圣殿呢？
Well, in 2015, China finished a 57-story skyscraper in only 19 days in Changsha.
那么中国在2015年只花了19天就在长沙盖了一座57层楼的摩天大楼。
And they built a 2,000-bed hospital in Wuhan in less than a week earlier this year.
那么今年初呢，他们中国也在这个武汉以不到一周的时间盖了一个有2000个床位的方舱医院。
Things can happen very, very quickly, considering how fast has been changing since 2020 began.
在2000年之后呢，事情都是发生跟进展的非常快速。
Well, but where is the Antichrist and who is he?
那么敌基督是谁？他是谁呢？
He may not have shown up yet, but he can show up any time faster than we can imagine.
这位敌基督可能还没有出现，但是也可能以我们无法想象的速度就很快的出现。
So let us ask our question a thing.
那么让我们来问自己一个问题。
In God's timetable, where do we stand?
那么在神的这个计划里面，我们现在走到了哪一个阶段？
Yeah, let us hear what is of Gordon Conwell have to say.
那么我们来听听看这位Gordon Conwell 神学院的倪玉校长他怎么说。
And the preparations for it in Israel now are another sign that these things are coming very quickly. How quickly, I don't know. But ours could be the generation in which Jesus came back again.
So let's ask this question. Are we going to go through the tribulation or not?
那让我们来问自己几个问题。我们会经历这样的一段时代吗？
Are we going to be raptured or left behind?
我们会被提或者是会留在这个地上经历这一段的混乱吗？
Are we going to meet Christ or the Antichrist?
我们会见到耶稣基督或者是那位敌基督吗？
Stay tuned for the next messages.
请大家在听等待我下一次的讯息。
I wish there more time for me to go into today's sermon, but time is limited.
我希望能够有更多的时间能够更深入的探讨今天的这个主题，可是时间实在有限。
Okay, and that ends my sermon today.
那就是我今天的全部的讯息到此结束。